Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence, we can experience you, we can encounter you, and we can do it so freely, regardless of the week we have had, regardless of how we feel, regardless of the circumstances we face, regardless of our current situation, regardless of everything, we can just come into your throne room this morning and we can just praise you. We just worship you this morning and we thank you for who you are. We praise you for who you are. You're a great God. You're a merciful Father. You're a Father that loves, Lord. We praise you this morning. We pray your Holy Spirit will shower people with your love this morning. We just worship you this morning. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here to equip, to empower, to encourage, and to move in our hearts this morning. We give your word its rightful place in our heart. We give it authority. We just give it authority to change. We give it authority to move in our lives this morning. And Father, as we move from 2018 into 2019, as we close the book on one chapter and open a new one, we pray that you'll be there afresh. We welcome you this morning. Father, would you give us dreams? Would you give us visions? Would you give us a new sense of destiny and purpose this morning? We praise you this morning. We just welcome you here. And as we open your word, would you speak into people's hearts and lives this morning? We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, thank you, team. A great morning of worship. Just one quick announcement this morning before I get into the word is that Trev's in Leeton this morning. If the kiddies, if they wanted to go to Nick, they're more than welcome to head in there. There's the first announcement. Second announcement is Trev's in Leeton ministering this morning. So we pray that they have a great morning in Leeton this morning. And he's just got a quick announcement about Leeton, Narendra and Griffith Church are going to put on a ministry study information night between Leeton and Narendra churches on Tuesday, the evening of Tuesday, the 8th of January. It's at 7:30 p.m. and I assume it's here. Okay, so on the January the 8th in the evening at 7:30 p.m. there's going to be an information evening for anyone who might be interested in doing some sort of study, some CRC ministry course of some description. Come along to that evening, because what they're going to be looking at doing is they're looking at offering a Certificate 3 of Leadership Ministry course that's going to be run in Griffith on 8 Saturdays. It's a lot like the old Certificate of Leadership that we used to do. So it's going to be running over 8 Saturdays. And if there's enough interest, they'll run a bus over to equip people, to help people. But they're also looking to run a diploma in ministry with the various streams and meeting together as a class on a Wednesday evening in Narendra. Wednesday, sorry. It's probably not evening. It's probably during the day on Wednesday. So if that's something that sparks something in your spirit and it's of interest to you, by all means, come and speak to me after the service. I'll give you some more details. But on Tuesday evening, the 8th of January at 7:30 p.m, if you come here, they're going to do an information evening, and it's going to be an opportunity for you to come and ask any questions that you might have and to seek any information and do what you need to do to enroll in that course, which will be fantastic. Well, this morning I was sitting down the back and I opened up and realised I'd emailed myself the wrong sermon this morning. I'd emailed draft 1 and I'd since updated draft 2 last night, so it was a quick dash home. But this morning I've just been sensing in my spirit that as I said, as we move from 2018 and we go into 2019, that it's a time where, and I said this a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching, it's a time where we just reflect upon the year that was, and we look back at the year that was, and we think about all the great things that we've done, and I find that we're obviously one of two people. We're obviously those people that are like, 2018 can't end quick enough. You know, it can't get rid of 2018, like, they're like, get rid of it, I can't wait for 2019 to start. But then there's other people that that they sit there and they go, oh, I so don't want 2018 to end. It's been the greatest year ever. Some fantastic stuff has happened in this year. And they're sucking everything out of 2018. You know, like when you wring a sponge out and you think you've got it all out. And then you go back again and there's still more in it. Well, they're trying to do that to 2018, just wring it dry and wring it dry again because it's been the best year ever. But regardless of which side of the pendulum you sit, we find ourselves each coming to this T-intersection. You know, we're moving into 2019 and we've got this T-intersection right ahead of us, and we can turn left or we can turn right, and God's got stuff for us. And as we move into that stuff, we've got this choice, which way are we going to go? And for each of us, the T-intersection might be a little bit different. You know, my T-intersection's different to yours, but nonetheless, as I enter into 2019, I've got a choice. I've got choices to make. Am I going to go in this direction or am I going to go in that direction? And so this morning, the truth is, every single person was designed by Him for a purpose. You see, each of you were created on purpose for a purpose. And whether you go to church or not, you know, we're all searching for this sense of satisfaction. We're all craving for, because we are designed that way. We're designed in such a way that we're pursuing, we're craving for a purpose. In Ecclesiastes, the smartest man in all the world, Solomon says, God has put eternity in the hearts of all people. There is nothing in the world that can satisfy except for Him. So we spend our lives seeking this desire to be fulfilled, this desire to be satisfied. And as you move forward into this new year, no matter how this year has gone, no matter if you're on the, this was brilliant, or if you're on the, let's just get rid of this year so quick. Doesn't matter which side you're on. You see, no matter how the year has gone, we're all seeking for more. For more in our families. For more in our finances. Like, I don't know about you, if I went and asked every person in here, and I said to you, do you want more in your finances? I don't think anyone would say, no thank you, I'm quite satisfied where I am. You know, like, no, I'm good, that can go to someone else. I don't think anyone says that. You know, more in your health, more in your relationships, we're all seeking more. But as we've been designed for a purpose, it's by us pursuing God and by coming to that T-intersection and saying, I'm going to pursue God no matter what. It's in that moment that you begin to live the best life that God has created and destined for each of you. Yet sometimes in our lives we can settle for less. Because life tries to steal whatever that dream that has been placed in your heart. It tries to limit your vision. It tries to pull that spirit that was inside of you that once leapt at an idea, once leapt at a dream. It tries to pull that and suck that out of you. Well, this morning my intention of this sermon is to once more allow God to move on that dream, on that hope. You know, like as you look back at this year, you might have said, in 2018, my dream was this. And you've got to the end of 2018 and you're going, that dream that I had hasn't come to pass yet. And as the year's gone on, it's been sucked out of you. And at the start of 2018, something that seemed so alive, something that seemed so vibrant, was jumping out of your spirit, has all of a sudden become dull and dead. And here we are finding ourselves at the doorway to 2019. But this morning, in my spirit, I feel God saying, go again. Go again. And the title of my message this morning is Go Again. Go Again. Don't settle for where you were or where you are, but go again. You know, like, sometimes we can pray for things and it doesn't happen. And then we pray again, it doesn't happen. We pray again, it doesn't happen. We pray again, and it doesn't happen. We can choose to stop, or we can choose to continue to pray. And as we continue to pray, God begins to move and things happen. But if we stop, we're limiting the potential. We're limiting where God's going to move us to. Like, and as I look around the room, I know there's situations that people in here have prayed for. There's situations in here that people have been saying, God, I want that to come to pass. And I know that hasn't come to pass yet. But it doesn't mean it's not going to come to pass. Don't give up. stamp down a stake and say, God, refresh in me that dream, refresh in me that purpose that you placed in my heart, so that as I move into 2019, that which seemed dead, dull and buried, you'll bring back to life once again in my heart and my spirit. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to move on you this morning? Would you allow Him to speak into your heart? Would you allow Him to just have that one small whisper in your heart? Because when He whispers, situations change. When He moves on your life, when He moves in your heart, you're never the same again. Would you allow Him to move in your heart this morning? Now, one of my favorite verses or passages in the Bible comes from Luke 8. And I constantly find myself speaking from this passage because there's so much in this passage. So if you've got a Bible, if you turn to Luke 8, we're going to read starting at verse 40, and we're going to go to verse 48. And it's all about Jesus healing in response to faith. And starting from verse 40, it said, on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for Him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with Him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. And Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized what she had, when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and there's just so much there. You see, 12 years is a long time. Like, if you just think about what you were doing 12 years ago. Last night when I was in, yesterday afternoon when I was playing around with version 2, I was sitting in bed and I said to Tone, "How old am I?" That's constantly, I always forget my age and I just have to say to Tone, "How old am I?" She said, "Oh, you're 34. That's all right. So 12 years ago, I was 22. What was I doing when I was 22? So I was thinking about what I was doing 12 years ago. You know, and some of us, you know, like for me that was quite difficult because I can sometimes forget what I had for dinner last night, let alone what I was doing 12 years ago. But 12 years ago, I was living in Queensland. You see, and since then I was living in Queensland, I was studying. Well, at the time I was probably pretending to study. I wasn't really doing a lot of studying when I was 22, I don't think. I was enrolled in uni, but I just pretended to study. But since then, I've completed my degree. But I have completed my degree since then. I've been married since then. You know, I've had 3 kids since then. Tone and I, we've purchased a home. Like, a lot's happened. We've got a stable job, both of us. You know, and a lot's occurred in that 12 years. Like, 12 years is a long time. You know, and I find it interesting that Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' 12-year-old daughter. So the same amount of time that this woman has had this health condition is the same amount of time that Jairus' daughter has been alive. And in the book of Mark, in the Amplified Version, it tells us that the woman was hemorrhaging. The word hemorrhaging comes from the Latin word which means violent bleeding or excessive blood loss. And it can be categorized into 5 levels of mild through to debilitating and even fatal. You see, hemorrhaging has 2 causes. It's either trauma or a medical condition. But see, it doesn't tell us what was the cause, but what it does tell us is that she spent all of her money, all of her resources. She's devoted that to being healed. And in one translation it says she suffered at the hands of many physicians and they could not heal her She could not be healed by anyone, but actually, as a matter of fact, it says she continually got worse. You see, have you ever felt like your situation is getting worse? Have you ever felt like that? You've got this situation, you've got this hope, you've got this dream in your heart. And how can anything, how can it possibly get any worse? And all of a sudden, something actually happens and it gradually becomes worse. You see, have you ever felt like your situation is getting worse? This child I'm believing for is just getting worse. This health condition is just getting worse. Whatever it is, this financial situation is just getting worse. This dream in my heart, this person that I'm praying and believing for is just getting worse and further away from the one that they need to connect with to be made whole afresh. So the scripture tells us that she was getting worse, even though she'd done all that she could possibly do. You see, it was serious, and she was desperate. But I want to plonk us right into this story. 2,000 years ago, anyone with a blood condition, see, they were considered unclean. And so the rest of the community who were clean could not defile themselves by associating with someone who was unclean. So what this meant was people with all these sorts of condition, these unclean conditions, were excluded from the community. And they would live outside the city. So not only is she hemorrhaging, she's got this excessive blood loss, she's also isolated, she's excluded, and has been for 12 years. You see, 12 years is a long time. So we see she has suffered as a result of this condition that she's got. It's not only impacted upon her physical body, it's also impacts upon her socially as she's discriminated against, she's excluded, and then she hears that this person named Jesus is coming to the town near her. And she also hears that he can heal people. And she heard that she could be in the same vicinity as him. And she decides that today is going to be her day. Today is going to be her moment. Today is going to be the day where she's going to try and touch this person called Jesus who heals. You know, she's probably, I just imagine this person. She's been excluded. She's been ostracized. She's been marginalized. She's got blood loss happening. She probably stinks. And she knows that she's an outcast. She doesn't want to just walk through the gates of the city and say, "I'm home, welcome me in, roll out the red carpet." I don't think that's, put the spotlight on me. I don't think that would have been occurring in her psyche. I think what would have occurred is she would have wanted to creep in, a lot like a mouse. Wanted to go unnoticed, unheard of, unthought of, isolated. It just doesn't matter to her. She doesn't want the spotlight on her. But she just says, "If I just touch him, doesn't matter how, if I just touch him." You see, in many of us, we're on a schedule with God. You see, I imagine Jairus is becoming frustrated because Jesus stops. He takes time. And Jairus is thinking, "Seriously, my daughter is sick. She's my priority. She's actually dying. Hurry up and come with me." So I can see Jairus, he's just waiting impatiently as Jesus interacts with this lady. But I imagine as he heard her testimony, I just imagine it would have started out with frustration. They would have been like, "Don't worry about her. My priority is more important. Come with me. Quick, hurry up, come with me. My daughter's dying." But Jesus stops. He has an interaction with this lady. And as this lady says something along the lines of, "I've been bleeding for 12 years, but you healed me." And Jesus says, "Go, your faith has made you well." I imagine in that moment that as Jairus begins to hear what this lady has said and heard her testimony. You see, I believe he would have been filled with this confidence. You see, you know, it's good for us to hear testimony. It's good for us to hear what God is doing. It fills us with faith. It gets us even more inspired and encourages us to believe God can do more in our lives. Like if I was to open up the platform, I'm not going to, so don't worry. But if I was to open up the platform and I said, I want you to give a testimony of things God have done in your life in 2018. And if someone came up here and gave a testimony of a situation where God moved and God changed the heart that they were believing for, the son or daughter that was far from God, and God interacted with that person and changed them. If you're believing for the same, your spirit will be stirred. And the testimony will bring life into you. Now this morning, I just want to share a few simple thoughts that if allowed to take root in your heart, will bring encouragement into your spirit to keep dreaming, keep believing. You see, encouragement to those dreams that are in your heart that you want to reignite. And as they are reignited, they would allow you to outwork to a greater dimension your God-given calling and your God-given destiny. You see, my first point this morning is you have to go to the source. You have to go to the source. You see, to capture or to recapture the dream, you have to go to the source of your breakthrough. You see, like this woman, often we try every other option. We try everything else. So now I'll go to prayer. We'll try everything else. So now I'll connect with Him. You know, we go to everything. We try everything out of desperation. And often the alternatives, they leave us dry. They leave us wanting. They leave us discouraged. And more often than not, they leave us worse off and we deal with frustration. Now listen, because there are countless things that we're trying to make you believe that they are the authority in your life. You know, like I was reading an article not long ago and it was saying in one day we have access to more information through the internet in one day than all of history, every person from the beginning to like the 1970s. In one day, we've got access to more information. There's that much bombarding us. There's that much trying to say, give me authority, let me be your source of information. You know, like, we've all done it. We've all gone to Google. We've got a symptom. We go to Google. We find out we've got 24 hours to live. You know, we've all done it. We can say we have it, we're lying. We've all done it. I've got this symptom, I'll take a photo, I'll have a look, I'll go. There's all these things that are fighting for our authority. They're fighting for our attention. You see, your career, your success, your stability, your security, your family, your boss, culture, the media, everything in the world is trying to present itself as your authority. And Jesus wants to bring you to a place where you discount all the counterfeit, all the fraudulent authorities and go to Him as the source. He's the only source. He is the absolute authority. You see, the Word of God is not another piece of literature that we can just pick up and we can choose this and we can choose that and we can read this verse out of context and say this is what it means. No. You see, if you live by the words and principles found within the Bible, you see, there's these other authorities that, like this woman, we can go to, but you can't. You have to go to the source. She had finally heard the reports about what Jesus had been doing for others, and she found the courage to rise up and to claim her miracle. It's good for us to hear what other people are receiving from God. Have you ever found yourself listening to a testimony? And as you're listening, you find yourself being somewhat distracted because you start to dream about what God could possibly do. You find yourself all stirred up and things begin to rise up in your spirit. So when someone testifies about the goodness of God, it's like he prophesying over your own life. You see, so the dreams that are in you are like, God can do that for that person, so there's no reason why he can't do that for me. They receive in that moment by faith. Testimony is important for us. The testimony of someone else's breakthrough points us in the right direction, but we have to go to the source. Because you and Jesus, between you and Jesus, there's always a crowd. Between you and Jesus, between that lady and Jesus, there was a crowd. Between you and Jesus, there's a crowd. There's always a crowd between you and Jesus. There's always things trying to distract you between you and Jesus. Between you and Jesus, there will always be a crowd. You see, Jesus is over there. But over there, Jesus is no less willing. He's no less engaged. He's no less interested in your situation. You see, and over here, you're no less valuable. You're no less called. You're no less important. But between the two of you is a crowd of things and reasons for you to not receive that miracle. Between you and Jesus are 101 excuses why you will not and should not receive your miracle. You see, a whole bunch of things. Well, for this lady, she was on the outskirts of town. She couldn't be any further away from a miracle. She was as far away as she could possibly be. And sometimes that could be how we feel. You see, Jesus is all the way over there. I've got 1,000 reasons why I'll never get what he says he will give to me. But she decides one day that she's going to do that which is illegal. She's going to push through the crowd. An unclean person is going to push through the crowd. Because she so desperately wants to get to Jesus. And we have to allow that spirit, that dream rise within us. That spirit that says, I'm going to the source. I'm going to go to Jesus and I'm going to push past every obstacle, every option, every excuse, every fear, because there will be 101 reasons why you shouldn't. Are you going to listen to them and stay on this side? Like you're still valuable. He's still powerful. Except you have allowed a crowd to keep you apart. So when you decide to move through the crowd, we disallow excuses. This morning, what are your excuses? What's stopping you? You know, excuses can be things like, I've prayed for this for this long and it hasn't happened. So it's obviously not going to happen, you know. God's just said that's not going to happen. Or my pop suffered from this condition, so therefore it must be just in my family. I've got to suffer from this condition as well. I'm stuck here. Or you can choose to stay there and be stuck. You've got that choice. Or you can push past it. And when you push past it, you can experience a breakthrough. You see, what obstacles do you face? They may be a resource thing. I don't have the resource to do what I know God has called me to do. But when you push through the obstacles, you break through. Like, who is God? Your situation? Or that God who has limitless resources? What are you believing? Are you believing the excuses? Are you believing the obstacles? Or are you believing the call that is placed upon your life? You know, fear. For me, this will be a big one. You know, I know it's fear. I know fear is just fear. It's not even real. That's the sad thing about fear. It's not even real. I'm not saying it's not valid. We feel it, definitely. But it's not even real. There's nothing tangible about it, yet when I choose to walk past it and deny its voice, I beat it. What about opposition? You see, opposition can be unfair treatment. You keep pushing through, you watch God show up. You push past all sorts of opposition. You push past all sorts of obstacles and excuses, and you get to this side and you're free on the inside. And what does Jesus say to her? He says, your faith has healed you. Your journey and your faith has healed you. Now you are side by side with your source stepping into your future. You know, for me, a lot of the opposition I found was internal. So it is time. It's time to push past whatever it is that is part of your internal opposition that is stopping you from going to the source. You need to push past internal and external oppositions, options, fears, excuses, because Jesus is waiting. He's waiting on the other side. He's available. He's willing. He is powerful. And we just have to make our way. We just have to make our way through the crowd. We just have to make our way through whatever it is that is stopping us from reaching out and touching the source. And in your life, what is it? What is it in your life? In James 4, it says, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. You see, it's a powerful thought that if she just touches the hem of His garment, if I can just get there, I'll do whatever it takes. She literally crawls through the crowd on her hands and knees. You see, do you have a dream? What is it that you've been dreaming for? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to see it come to pass? You see, will you crawl on your hands and knees? See, she thought to herself, if I just touch the hem of His garment. You see, the beautiful thing about this is her body was sick, but her spirit wasn't. Her circumstances were unwell, but her spirit was alive and full of faith. Today she was going to defy the odds. And I want to ask you, what does it mean for you to push past the crowd? Personally, in your circumstances, to get your best life, the thing that God intended and destined for you, what does it require for you to do? What do you need to do this week? What do you need to do in 2 weeks' time in order for 2019 for you to be running towards that God-given potential that is placed within your heart? What do you need to lay aside? What do you need to restructure in order to get there? What do you need to push past? You see, she pushes past and touches the hem of His garment. And she receives a miracle. The thing that she'd been waiting for 12 years. And I'm so encouraged when I read this scripture because it's often 12 years. It could be 30 years, 40 years. And that kind of makes me feel better because the time I can feel like I'm not going to get the job done because it hasn't occurred in a week. I've been praying for this situation and a week later it's still there. It's okay because it's a journey. You see, it's a journey, and the thing is she waited and she suffered through 12 years and she receives in an instant, and then she pulls back into the shadows. You see, often when life has beaten us down and we're on the outside of the city being in the shadows, it's only when we know how to live. It's the only way we know how to live. Because that's become our default. It's become our default. You see, and the disciples are going, you've got to be kidding. Who touched your robe? You see, there's this large crowd around you. But he's making a point. He was adamant of calling her out, calling her into account. You see, the person who just received the miracle, he knew it was for her, and he was waiting for her, and he wasn't doing it for another thing until he wanted to validate her existence. What is it about us that tells us we're not important? What is it about us that says, you're not important. That's not important. When Jesus is standing there saying, I'm not moving until I can validate you as a person. I'm not moving until I can stand toe to toe, nose to nose, eye to eye, and look you in the eye and tell you, daughter, I'm proud of your faith. Your faith has healed you. What is it about that lie that we allow to speak to us day in, day out? Which says that's not important. You see, just because you are unseen by the world does not mean that you're unseen by God. And it says there that she has this revelation. And I pray this morning that someone else might have this revelation. In verse 47, seeing you could not go unnoticed, let the Spirit of God speak to you, if that's you. Will you see that you will not go unnoticed? The world might not see you, but God sees you. And he's saying, who was that? Come out, where are you? I don't care who is waiting for me. Jairus, you can wait 3 days. I'm waiting for whoever it is to come out of the shadows because he wants to validate you. He wants to remind you that you are a son, a daughter of God. You're valuable, you're seen. In the unseen, you cannot go unnoticed. Will you hear his beckoning? Will you hear his calling? He wants you to know he is not ashamed of you. You see, the world needs your geniusness, if that's a word. If not, I just made a word up. The world needs your humility. Humility is not hiding in the shadows. Humility is knowing what you are and living within that and saying, God can use me. Today he wants to validate you. So this morning we firstly are required to go to the source. Secondly, we are required to come out of the shadows. And thirdly, we need to testify. All she wanted was a touch, because a touch is enough. A touch from God is enough. Psalms tells us one moment in the presence of God is better than 1,000 elsewhere. All you need is one touch, and one touch in the presence of God realigns everything. It makes sense of everything. It brings wholeness and revelation to everything. If that's you and you've had that experience, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Where everything just seems skew-if. You come into his presence, he touches your heart. And things change. Maybe you're in church for the first time and something's stirring within you. You see, that's the Holy Spirit. He's touching your spirit, touching your heart. You see, Jesus actually wants more than that for us. The miracle is about me, but the purpose of the miracle is bigger than me. The touch is for me, but the testimony is for the city. The touch is for me, but the testimony is for everyone out there. Jairus needed to hear her story. In verse 47 it says, when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. It's the why. You see, all of us have a why. I imagine it goes something a little like this. Jesus, it was for me. I'm so desperate. I've been living with this condition. And this lady's been living with it for 12 years and she's been isolated and she's been sick, and I just thought if I could get to you and I could touch you, I'd get all that I needed. I'm sorry I'm here, I've done the wrong thing, except I'm healed, so thank you. I can imagine her standing there shaking, giving this account. Everyone has a why. What is the why behind your wait? Why would God provide whatever it is that you're dreaming, wishing, hoping for? Why would he heal you? Why would he make a way for you? There's always a why. And it's actually not about you. It's actually bigger than you. And as followers of Jesus, we need to realize this. You see, I believe our church needs to be filled with people who get this. That God is a faithful God. And yes, we pray for our own needs. But when my need is met, there's a reason for it. And the reason is far greater than me. There is always a why. I want to ask you this. Other than Jesus, who is the main character in your story? Why is the woman with the issue of blood? Was it the woman with the issue of blood? She's powerful. She's amazing.
Was it Jairus,
a faith-filled man of God? For me, the main character in this story was the person who laid lifeless in the bed, the 12-year-old girl. She's the main character of the story. You see, Jairus, the woman with the issue, we're all facilitating her resurrection. She is the why. You see, all of us have a community out there that are lying lifeless in their bed. They are perishing, and our why is them. They are the main character of our story. Aside from Jesus, we are not the main character in our story. Jesus and the mission field are the main character in our story. So today I want to ask you, are you living your best life? You see, there's a generation in their beds lifeless. They're perishing. Are you living your best life for them? I'll get the musicians, if they could come up. We're going to enter into a time of communion as you reflect upon those few thoughts. You see, Scripture tells us He gives us the ability to get wealth. He gives us the ability to go into careers, but it doesn't stop there. If it's not it's not a full stop. It goes on and says this, to establish His kingdom on earth. There is nothing more powerful, nothing more important, nothing more significant than the people business. You see, so no matter what sphere we find ourselves in professionally, we are called there to establish the kingdom of God. You see, God has given us the ability to be in that place to establish His kingdom on earth. So as we come to our T intersection, as we close the chapter and we open the new chapter, I'm excited for what lies ahead. Excited for tomorrow. Then the next day when it's actually a whole new year. But are you living your best life? Are you living your best life? What do you need to do? What do you need to restructure? How are you going to get to the source? Because it's the source that's going to bring change, bring revitalization into your Holy Spirit. Will you go to Him this morning? Get Tony and the team, they're going to sing a song. We're going to provide an opportunity for you to go to the source around our communion table this morning. It's hot. Minds are clouded. Thinking about a dip in the pool. We could have all these excuses. I know I'm sitting here going, it is hot. I'm wearing shoes. It's hot. But the opportunity to go to the source far outweighs those excuses or those options or those alternatives. Would you go to the source this morning? Go to the source. Would you allow Him to touch you afresh? Because the Holy Spirit's here to minister, to move on your heart. All we have to do is go to the source. So we'll allow the team to sing a song. Toby and the guys will hand out the emblems. And the musicians will just play for a couple of minutes. And when you're ready, would you partake? You don't have to hear me again. You just have to hear the Holy Spirit. Would you go to the source? It's freely available. Would you allow Him to wash over you this morning? Thanks, Tane.